Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, this is me, Chris McGlade. Tickets are on sale for my critically acclaimed show, Forgiveness, at the iconic 100 Club on Oxford Street in London.
How can you write a comedy show about the murder of your father? Well, Chris McGlade, the Northern comedian, has, with his critically acclaimed show, Forgiveness, at the 100 Club on Oxford Street, October the 12th. Tickets at billetto.co.uk or at the 100 Club. Chris McGlade, Forgiveness.
Come down and see the show. Thanks very much.
From the people who turned a niche Scottish football podcast into a critically acclaimed TV show on the BBC, it's Review from the Terrace, a pop culture podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Still Game podcast. My name is Bethany Tennick.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Scottish Rewatchable.
Hello and welcome to Review from the Turnbuckle.
Debating the best in movies, iconic TV shows, classic albums, peak era wrestling and so much more.
Some intern got fired for that, like, be like, Jared!
And what would you have done?
Loved it. What a moment.
Review from the Terrace brings together a collection of professionals, pals, misfits, and special guest interviews.
The one and only Ewan Angus.
Big G Telfer.
Director of Still Games, Michael Hines.
That's Review from the Terrace, a newly created podcast network with at least two shows dropping every week.
All right, neighbour, good to see you, man. It's been a long time, man.
Many people will say it's the biggest moment in the history of wrestling.
It's about 35.
Find us on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. I'm Boyd Hilton. Sidekick Josh is looking resplendent in his Soho House style mansion. Hi, Josh.
I am delighted to be here. I'm not in a mansion, sadly, but Soho House style, I'll take it. I think it's a huge compliment to my wife who designed this room, and yeah. I'll pass on your kind remarks. You are, of course, in your HQ, where we every week see Aubameyang and Lacazette over your shoulder, shaking hands with each other.
Yeah.
Any other developments at your place?
I actually recently, funnily enough, I probably shouldn't say this. This is going to seal my reputation for being an absolute massive ponce. But I have recently acquired a lot of Soho Home, which is the Soho House homewares offshoot. Because I did that thing where they do that thing where if you spend loads of money on your Soho House membership, they give it to you back in credit. So I've just spent a vast amount of money on sort of like towels and bed equipment and cushions, etc. So my flat is suddenly looking more like Soho House, even than yours, Josh. As if we could be any more elitist. Anyway,
I was going to say I've not been myself, so my invite got lost in the post.
Josh and I will treat you. at the end of the season, if you've achieved enough quality appearances on this podcast, Max, that is the voice of Max Goodborn, PR legend, Arsenal fan, etc. Hi, Max.
Hello, guys. Wonderful to be joining you today.
Thank you. Of Ready 10 PR, that's the name of your company, isn't it? Ready 10 PR.
Yeah, little plug you, there.
Little plug. Check it on Twitter, etc. Where to begin? Well, apart from ignoring, let's hope someone edits out my Soho home confession. Where to begin with our triumphant 1-0 victory over Burnley? Perhaps with did we all manage to watch it, Josh? How much of it? I confess. I listened. It was on Five Live. It was the live game on Five Live, which was handy. And I did have a stream on my iPad, and it meant that my technique now is because if Five Live is covering a match, they're ahead of a live stream, so they were about 10 seconds ahead. So whenever anything vaguely important happened or significant happened, I would then double check. I would go onto the live stream and see it for real in video form, and that worked quite well for me. How about you? How did you keep in touch with the game?
I did find a terrific stream. It was, I think, the South African coverage, which is just the international sort of international Premier League productions feed. And I had a good stream and a perfectly enjoyable experience. It's strange to think it hasn't been that long since these games were all being offered to us at £15 for that period. And then they were free again. Mm. And now it makes you think about what would you be happy to spend given your alternative as a dodgy stream. We all had it. We all enjoyed that period where it was just free when it was on, you know, Sky and Sky Ultra HD if you're Boyd. But for those of us who are now resorting to streams, which I think was pretty much everyone, right? Then it does make you think, what would you have paid, Boyd? If you had the option just to stick it on your TV, what would you have been happy to part with?
I mean, I'm so... I would have paid probably quite a lot of money. I would definitely have paid 15, yeah. I mean, I would have been that. Yeah. I think when they came up with that crackpot scheme, they were thinking of fans like me who are so, you know, kind of elitist that we'd probably spend that kind of money on watching it in the comfort of our own homes. But Max, how did you watch it? Did you have a nice stream? I mean, I'm not. By the way, listeners, in case anyone from the, I think we're legal. Yeah. I don't know what the legal position is. I don't think they can arrest you for watching something. I think, like above board football. I think if you provide the stream. I mean, I'm making this up, but we're all admitting that we watched it some way. Max, I don't want to get you in trouble, but did you manage to watch the game?
Yeah, I did. I watched it at Astro Super Sports, I think it was. Oh, and I saw mine and Josh's close friend, Nigel Winterburn, was one of the pundits for that one. So, Nigel. Yes, he was. He did a sterling job at halftime. And the stream held up pretty well, other than I missed the goal. It was doing pretty well, and then the free kick was awarded, and it just cut out. And then by the time we were back on, it had been scored, which was our best bit of the game. But yeah, did watch it all.
Good. Josh, you get to more. I mean, you go to way more away games than I do, but you weren't tempted by this one, Burnley, too much. A bridge too far, a northern trip too far.
I was tempted, you know, but I was actually left in charge of my 8-month-old daughter for the first time alone as my wife went on a hen party this weekend. So had I then tried to offload her to, say, grandparents or other care, that may have looked inappropriate. So, no, I've decided not to do the trip to Burnley, but I'm definitely going to get some good away trips in this season. I hope you'll be joining, Boyd. I mean, Man United away is midweek, which gives me memories of your famous trip to Old Trafford, where you recorded a podcast drunk, frankly. On the way back home. So maybe we can try and...
When is that coming up?
Well, I think it's... Let me just Google it. Yeah, okay. I'm checking the calendar as we speak. That game is taking place on the 30th of November, 8 p.m. That's kickoff. So
The week before my birthday. So maybe that'll work out a bit. Yeah, that's quite a good
idea. Are you suggesting like an overnight trip to celebrate the birthday on this Tuesday night?
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's scary to play Man United. Much scarier now than they were that game, which was a couple of years ago now, wasn't it? Mm. Funnily enough, I was thinking of that game, Max, because that game we had quite a good VAR decision by memory. Go our way.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I think it sticks in the mind.
Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Goal.
Right. Yeah. And which I think was waved, flagged offside, but was then given onside in the VAR.
And he's onside by about 2 yards, wasn't it?
Right. And I think the VAR decision that happened in the Burnley game
felt
like one of our best VAR that's gone for us for a long time. Thank fuck for that, because, you know, we always won that game, otherwise.
I mean, you say that, but how could that possibly have been given? I mean, first and foremost, I think the real thing to think about with that was what a poor back pass it was.
By Ben White.
Yeah, so under hit.
50 million Ben White.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he struggled against Wood and Ashley Barnes. I thought they really did get the better of him, but it was a hairy moment when it was initially given for a pen. And you thought, here we go, but VAR came to our rescue on that occasion.
Do you agree, Josh, that Ben White, he definitely, I wouldn't say he's arrived with glowingly good reviews for his performances so far. I mean, he played in the calamitous first game and wasn't great. And he played, then he had some weeks off for COVID, and then he came back, and he was dodgy, wasn't he, in the Burnley game? I mean, funnily enough, not for the reasons, like, his heading was fine, his defensive heading was good. I think his stats were really good there, but it was that back pass was terrible, and he had a couple of dodgy moments when they were playing it around at the back, where he seemed either overconfident. Or I don't know what, or just lack of concentration. There were some dodgy moments.
Look, there were a couple of moments, but I think there's a danger of overreacting here. I mean, the pass back is poor, but not. You could have one or two of those a season. We're lucky we got away with it, and one of those moments where you're really thankful there was VAR, because otherwise, you know, it's a penalty and, you know, invariably probably a draw in the game. So I don't know. I think maybe that's harsh. Gabriel and Ben White were probably always going to be the centre-half pairing that we were prepared for this season. I think any new defensive partnership is going to take a little bit of time. Is it going to be flawless from the beginning? No. Should we celebrate two clean sheets in a row in two incredibly important games just to get the 6 points, albeit probably expected to get six or certainly 4 points? So I think I'm not worried or concerned or drawing conclusions about someone that, you know, cost obviously an absolute fortune in terms of a fee for someone that's, you know, just been on the fringes really of international football and, you know, playing championship football just a couple of years ago. I'm not too worried, Boyd. I think there are sterner tests to come. Let's see. Sunday will give us a better idea how he copes with Harry Kane.
Yeah. I'm not worried. Don't get me wrong. I was just reflecting. I'm not having a go at him. I will be patient. It's a bit like, it could be like when you get a new player sometimes. Like I can think of players, especially defenders, and I'm going to now forget to remember their names. But I mean, we've had loads of, Squillaches. I'm thinking of that kind of defender who sometimes arrives and has a couple of good games and makes quite a good impression. And then it tails off disastrously and they never recover. I'd rather, like, he works his way into form and that we give him the chance. Clearly he will, because as you're right, this is our first choice defence now, isn't it? I'd rather than have it make a massive splash instantly and maybe then, you know, it's sort of flash in the pan.
Recency bias is just everything in football now.
It's the phrase much loved of the Guardian football podcast, and it's, I don't even know if the word recency actually exists, but yeah, I know what you're saying,
man. You know what I mean? It's just like you do, if someone has one bad game that they're shit and whatever, it's just everything's overall from previous performances, and, you know, even last season where he was such a key performer for Brighton. But I'm hopeful of him, and I think, you know, by contrast, the conversation, I think Gabriel's been amazing the last couple of games, looks so solid.
Yeah, he was.
It's just so good to see him back amongst things. Like, you know, he's someone that's, for someone who, I can't believe he's 22. He's enormous. He's so strong. Like, he's great to see him back in the team.
We've really missed him,
really. Yeah. What were your thoughts on Tomiyasu?
I thought he was great. I really do. I think I don't think he's put a foot wrong, literally in the games he's played. And I mean, you have to give. I think we have to give. I'm about to give Arteta and you know, all the Edu and whoever the hell sorted out our transfers, because Tomiyasu looks like a really good, but again, you know, with you're right, you know, recency bias, but he really does look, I mean, he just has to keep this up, doesn't he? He has to, you know, but I think he looks solid. He looks, you know, when he attacks, when he gets a chance, I think he's really, really impressive. So him, you've got him, who's a really, really good signing, you know, not that expensive. And that was the position we desperately needed someone because of all of our mediocre right backs. Then Ramsdale, I mean, Ramsdale's been a fucking revelation, isn't he? He's like a folk hero already.
I was speaking to one of my friends about it, and he's playing out of his skin at the moment. I know it's like only a couple of games, and he could be like a big mistake away, whatever, but you can tell that he's almost playing above himself. It almost reminds me of when Emi Martinez came into the team. He's so delighted to get that opportunity. Like against Burnley, like how many keepers have we had, you know, in the past? You think of like the Chesneys and Fabianskis, where anything, you know, under their throat, it's just a nightmare. But he took everything, and like I think he was man of the match from Arsenal supporters, and for me, rightly deserved, because I thought he was brilliant. And he just looks like at the moment, he's played three games and obviously not conceded yet. And you just want that to keep going further and further. And even if he does concede like a worldy goal or whatever, like his confidence is right up at the moment, and that's what you need as a goalkeeper. And maybe that's where Leno was in the team for so long with faltering confidence, that we suffered a little bit from that.
He's a presence, isn't he, Josh? And I think this is another example of me being right and you being wrong, because I think I predicted that he would keep him in the team and that he's clearly become first choice keeper already. I mean, this is, you know, there's no, he'd have to fuck up massively for Leno to get back in the team, I think. And he's already looking a distinct improvement, isn't he? Particularly, as Max refers to, getting you know, high balls, jumping for them, holding them, just dominating the area. And even there was even a moment where, you know, there was a corner and he was being jostled, and he just kind of like pushed them out of the way. He did that thing that Leno did not do famously in the first game of the season. What do you reckon about Ramsdale? You must be surprised.
Well, I don't know if you saw the story, but there was a German football journalist who's well respected who did tweet out ahead of the game at the weekend that Leno had been told he would have two games off following the defeat at Manchester City, and that he would return in goal for the North London derby. So there was already a feeling that this may have been sort of pre-arranged or premeditated to give Ramsdale some games. So
are you,
I don't
seriously
know.
Wait a minute. Are you seriously telling me that Leno's going to come back for the Spurs game?
This is the information that was put out into the public domain that is Twitter. You might be familiar with Twitter. It's,
was it a reliable source? Who is this?
It is the Bild reporter, Christian Falk. I'm not sure if you're familiar with his work, but he has a blue tick and 306,000 followers on Twitter. Wow. So perhaps that makes him an authority. I mean, you've got 75,000, 80,000.
Yeah, anyone could get a blue tick. So, anyone could get a blue tick these days. Christian Fuchs, is that his name?
Falk, F-A-L-K. Christian Falk. So what I'm saying is it possibly premeditated, agreed. You could argue this. Did Leno do enough to be dropped in the 5-0 defeat at Manchester City? I argue no. He actually made a string of good saves. Yes, we got heavily beat. There was the cross for, I think, Gundogan's header that was possibly poor, but there were one of several mistakes on that goal. Apart from that, I don't think he was at fault for the other goals. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked to see Bernd Leno, the German number two, return to our goal on Sunday.
I think there's a real balance to be had as well with, like, I think this is what I've been most critical of Arteta for, is he doesn't manage. Like, if you look at Arsenal players as assets, he doesn't really manage his assets very well. He almost kind of speaks down about people in the press. And sometimes you always think, well, if we are going to have to sell these players come next summer, are we going to be able to recoup good funds for them? And I feel like sometimes with, like with Bernd Leno, if he was just to whip him out the team and then didn't play again, like with Guendouzi's gone on loan, and you know, there's a season-long loan before potentially 9.5 million when we could have sold him probably for double that the summer before. It's something to be thought about there, maybe.
How would you feel if I mean, I feel like, as I said, I feel like Ramsdale's become a massive hit with the fans. You know, a fan favourite. I think he's had two. He hasn't put, I'll use that cliche again. He hasn't put a foot wrong. Not only that, I think that tackle, you know, for the penalty that was kind of brilliant because he didn't panic. He just it was rather a well timed, you know, not flailing tackle, which is clearly why it was reversed. So obviously it wasn't a penalty, as you said. I think there'd be a fan uproar if he was dropped for the Spurs game.
Yeah,
no matter what Christian Falk says.
I would like Leno in on Wednesday night.
Yeah, fine. Oh yeah, fine in the League Cup. Yeah, sure.
I'd like Leno in on Wednesday night, and if he drops a bollock in that, then definitely not starting.
Yeah, yeah. If he drops a ball or a bollock, yeah. And it's not so much the case that I think you could argue. You know, I wouldn't argue necessarily with Josh that Leno did that much wrong in the games, but. I said this last week, but I was referring to this last week. I think Leno has been on a kind of slightly off. I don't think he's commanding enough. And I think, I said this last week about how unlikable he is. Whereas Ramsdale seems like a much more likable, I don't know. I just think I think the defense, I'm already saying this. I have very, very little proof, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel like that young defense prefers him than fucking Leno, who blames them. Well, and every time there's a goal, we can see the goal. Even if Leno's vaguely at fault or vaguely, you know, could have gone for it, I feel he still blames the defenders for it. I don't know. It's been their fault sometimes.
Yeah, I think Arteta's wanting a keeper to be able to play with his feet and Leno not that comfortable doing that. And Leno has been questionable under the higher ball recently, you know, in the last season or so. And Ramsdale seems to be quite comfortable there. So by contrast, you know, it seems to have fit quite well. Leno is a great shot stopper. I don't think many people could deny that. But yeah, it is certainly interesting. As you say, and I think Leno has had... He's a keeper that's not had any competition really for the best part of a season and a half. With, you know, Runnison was his closest competition before that, and now there's somebody that's come in and has had a sniff of the number one spot, and you know that they're not going to give that up easily. So it'll be very interesting to see who Mikel does start against Spurs. Mm.
I would be amazed if he doesn't start with Ramsdale, but we'll see. I have another very big question to ask, but before we get to that. Let's take a quick break. And we're back from the break. My big question is, you know who else is available for the Spurs game, don't you? Granit Xhaka. What are the chances, Max, of him? What are the chances that... He's definitely going to play, isn't he? I mean, there's no way. Looking historically, I think he goes straight back in the team. And I will be marginally less furious than if Leno gets picked over Ramsdale, if Xhaka gets back in the team. But I think he will, especially because it's a North London derby and blah, blah, blah.
It just seems a formality. And there's something you can guarantee with Xhaka is that managers just pick him. He must be incredible in training. And apparently he does have a real... you know, like great attitudes and like really applies himself really well and has almost an infectious attitude to everybody else. But you just know that these occasions, you know, one in five chance that he is just going to get another red card. And you know, I think Gary Neville said it, you'll never be able to change that with Granit Xhaka. So I don't know. I must admit, I love seeing Partey back, obviously, but you know the development of Lokonga coming in. I even like Maitland-Niles in the middle as well. I think it will be Xhaka coming back because everybody loves him. But it will be interesting to see what happens.
It will be interesting. We should say that I was just going to mention that team selection again to give the manager credit, Arteta. I've been calling this is the team. This is my team that I would have picked. The team he played against Burnley. And initially, you know, you'd think it was going to be a 4-3-3, which I've been saying we should give a go. It was more of a 4-1-4-1, wasn't it? It was a kind of pretty flexible formation, but it was definitely like Partey at the back, clearing stuff up, and then in front of him all of these attacking players, Pepe, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, Saka, and it didn't work particularly well. I mean, it has to be said. I think we only had what? Maybe three shots on target, maybe what are the stats? We had 13 shots, three on target,
Yeah.
Which isn't great, but that's been a problem. Obviously, that getting the attack, knitting our attacking players together, getting them playing well together has been one of the major difficulties Arteta's had. But I think that team selection, I would hope and pray. I'm not saying he should play. He's not going to play that team against Spurs, no way. But I do think in the games against teams like Burnley, that is the kind of team we should be playing for sure. Like all of our best attacking players, finding a way to fit them in. But he's definitely not going to play that kind of team against Spurs, is he?
Sorry, Josh, what are you saying?
Well, I can't see any other situation apart from Granit Xhaka coming back into the lineup, and I have to defend him slightly from the statistical guesswork possibly there from Max saying it was about 1 in 4. Did you say 1 in 4 on the red card, Max?
Something like that, yeah. It must be statistically something like that.
It's 1 in 41, I have to tell you, in the Premier League. It's 1 in 41, just 4 red cards, 164. We have a miss, probably, that we...
In just 4 red cards is quite a thing to say.
In Premier League, yeah. 4 red cards for Arsenal.
Yeah. It feels like a lot more than that.
It does feel like a lot more.
I mean, he gets booked every fucking game, doesn't he? I mean, let's not forget that.
I think it works out just over 1 in 3. Over 1 in 3. Look, we know what the back four is going to be, don't we? I mean, it's Tierney, it's Gabriel, Ben White, Tomiyasu. I cannot see a situation where Granit Xhaka doesn't play. I can't see a situation where Thomas Partey doesn't play. Has Odegaard done enough to play?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he'll play. He'll drop Smith Rowe for.
He'll drop Smith Rowe. I completely agree. I just wonder if there's a, you know, when Lacazette comes back into the lineup. But I think what's more likely is Saka, Aubameyang, Pepe. So you've got Xhaka and Partey, Odegaard ahead, Saka, Pepe, Aubameyang. And that's the team. And I suspect that's the most common team we'll see this season if everyone's fit.
I just think when I look at the Arsenal team, I think that's just a bit of a cause for concern. I think we did one goal from open play in the first 5 games.
Yeah.
Obviously,
it's quite a cause for concern. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, the free kick, you know, it was a great free kick. But other than that, like, there wasn't many clear cut chances. So, and it's not like we're creating loads. So that's quite worrying for me. And I feel like when we're getting into those areas as well, we're just not being clinical. I think Bukayo Saka's struggled a little bit since coming back. He's definitely not, you know, as a player that was so good for us. I was speaking to one of my friends the other day, and I think from my side, I think the best we saw of Saka was almost when he'd been into the team about 6 months, and he was playing like left wing back and registered like 13 assists or something like that. Where it seems like when he comes a bit more inside, and if he's not playing with Smith Rowe, who doesn't give him the ball straight away, seems to be struggling a little bit. But he had a few chances at the weekend where I think Pepe got in, and he just couldn't sort his touch out, and it just seems like he's a little bit off at the moment. So
he's definitely a bit off. But all I would say about that is I completely agree with you about Saka. He's out of form. I mean, but still worth playing because he still won us the penalty, didn't he? The free kick that we scored from. There's still always 3 or 4 moments in every game, no matter how kind of bad. You're right. He suddenly seemed to forget how to trap the ball. Like remember how brilliant he was for England? Those amazing ways he'd get the ball, keep it like glued to his foot, and he managed to like elude like 3 or 4 players, which you seem to do for Arsenal as well, of course. But I do think he's suffering from the England post-tournament blues. I saw a tweet earlier, and I meant to remember it, to refer to it, and I've lost it. I'm just looking at it now. I've lost it. But I was saying how pretty much every major England player, attacking player, you know, Harry Kane, for example, who's having a terrible time at the moment. He was absolutely shocking in the last couple of Spurs games. So, you know, all of the attacking players that played for England are having a terrible start to the season, or not very, certainly a disappointing start. And I do think you always see it, don't you? And, you know, think of him, think of what he's been through. He played in the final. I mean, he came on a sub. He played in major games in the Euros that we nearly won. He had that fucking missed penalty. He's had all the ridiculous stuff that's happened on social media about him, the racism. He's dealt with a lot, and I think and he's still playing every single game for Arsenal. You know, he's not hasn't been given any kind of rest. I mean, obviously he's given like a week, extra week off or whatever. But I do think it's time to rest him. Maybe. I mean, I don't think you're resting for the Spurs game because I think he's too important. But I just feel like he needs a rest to get to mentally sort himself out. I mean, the other final thing I was going to say about, because it was interesting, I was glad you brought out the fact that his first touch was poor because it's usually so brilliant. Everyone was banging on about Pepe's first touch, which was, and he did have some bad moments where he didn't control the ball, but so did Saka. And this fucking argument that happens, that I've had time and time again with people, particularly one person, about Pepe's in quotes technique. Well, we're not suddenly saying Saka hasn't got technique. We know he's got brilliant technique, but Pepe can trap the ball and deal with it and brilliantly, you know, go inside and make a great pass and score sometimes. He has got technique. It's just he's incredibly inconsistent with it. And I think, you know, which it shows that even a player like Saka can be inconsistent with their in quotes technique, with the trapping the ball, etc. So I just wanted to make that little ranting point. Sorry, Max, go on.
Sorry, I was just saying, I'm personally a huge fan of Pepe.
Yeah, same.
I love him. I think, you know, when you look at him, he's almost like a bit of a maverick in the way he plays. You know, he doesn't kind of... It's almost interesting that I think Arteta's kind of finally trusted him now.
Yeah.
Because he's not really like an Arteta kind of player in the way that he's not like organised and doesn't like follow patterns of play and sort of plays his own game, really. But I think the sooner that we can give Pepe like opportunities to put himself in space and find other players and get shots in on goal, I think we'll see a great return from him, as we did towards sort of the end of last season.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. What do you think about the Saka situation, Josh?
Granit Xhaka or Saka?
No, Saka.
Yeah. I think some level of dip is slightly inevitable after the sort of highs we've seen. And there was such a level of pressure on his shoulders at certain points in the last year, 18 months, to be the player that we would look to in a period where Aubameyang has been out of form and not the player that we hoped, that just taking that off his shoulders for a bit and allowing sort of a return into form of Aubameyang, Odegaard to come in, Pepe to have some game. You want to see that. You don't always want to be like, who is our man of the match today? And it feels inevitable. So I don't know. I'm not worried at all. I think he is, as he seems to be called by the Arsenal social media team and a lot of other people, Star Boy at the moment. I know you're not wearing your T-shirt you got of him today, Boyd, but I presume...
It's in the wash.
Well, you can't wear it 5 days, you know, Monday to Friday. I guess it's good to have Monday off for the T-shirt, exactly. Get something else. Yeah. No, I'm hugely excited about everything Bukayo Saka and how promising he's going to be. And look, he's just turned 20, right, last week. Did you send him a birthday card, Boyd?
No, I forgot. Sorry. Good reminder, though. Yeah.
Oh, maybe better late than never, but yeah. get in there early ahead Relax. Of the 21st. Yeah. I'm just so sort of hugely excited. And probably the thing that pleased me most was that grit and determination from all of them on Saturday. I don't care. Winning 1-0, ugly at Burnley, brilliant. We shouldn't get over excited about it. Burnley have been hopeless at home now for all of 2021. I don't think they'd won since January. Arsenal have got a great record at Burnley over the last, you know, how many years they've been in the Premier League. And do you know how many free kicks we scored direct in the whole of the Premier League last year?
Two. I was going to say
two.
One.
And yeah.
I can remember William.
Two. I mean, exactly. So just two. So to already have one so near the start of the season and feel like we've got a real threat from, you know, that kind of position is fantastic as well. So I sort of saw a bit of negativity even amongst sort of Arsenal supporting friends in WhatsApp groups, feeling like it was a bit of a horrible watch and it was, you know, difficult and, you know, not very flowing and everything like that. I was just pleased. Three points was same, huge. Yeah. I mean, we win 2-0 on Sunday. We're above Spurs. I mean, how ridiculous is that after everything that's happened?
Yeah, let's get... ahead of ourselves, but yeah, go on.
There was two things I really liked. I'd say the performance was a bit dogged. It wasn't the best game, but there was a couple of. Did you see that image of Ramsdale like holding the ball and Tierney like, shouting at him? And I thought that's the sort of like shithousery we need. Like Ramsdale when he goes to catch the ball, I like the way he has a foot out. So if a striker wants to come in, they're getting a face for the boot. Like you need a bit of that at Burnley play. So yeah, it was a pleasing win for that. And Saturday evenings are always much better when Arsenal win, always.
And boy, there was a good bit of PR from Ramsdale, wasn't there, when he went into the crowd with his shirt, handed it over to a young kid. So bonus points for
every child now. Yeah, that was lovely. Every child now, everyone under the age of like 15 has to go to a game now with the sign saying, please give me your shirt, don't they? It's like it's extraordinary how that's become.
That is one of the weaknesses, I imagine, with sitting in club level. Mm. You're not going to get a shirt, are you, boy? No. You could take as many signs as you want.
Yeah.
Imagine that. How would
I bet Tierney could throw it up there, could chuck it out there. No, he'd have a go.
No chance.
No?
You're not a shirt. You'd have to get it into a proper ball and I think it'd be tough.
There was another
shot to the club shop. Because I know were you trying to get stuff in the club shop the other week?
I haven't bought anything else yet. No. There was another shot of Tierney giving his shirt to a kid in the crowd as well. They're all doing it. So at the Burnley game. Yeah. Yeah,
that's the answer, Boyd. You have to go to an away game to take your sign because in club level, it's not going to happen.
I mean, I think I look slightly too old. I think it would be remiss of me to carry a sign saying, "Please give me your shirt." As a 50-something.
What would your reasoning be? Like, if you had a few extra words to add on to that, like, what would your argument be?
Let's not tempt. Let's not. I'm not going to enter into that. I mean, I could.
Are you going on? You going Wednesday, boy?
I am going Wednesday, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Looking Are you sitting in your seats?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. There's rumours that Charlie Patino, I was going to mention this, Charlie Patino, our new wunderkind, or wunderkind, if you watch Ted Lasso, and if you don't watch Ted Lasso, then what the fuck are you doing with your life? There's a whole debate about whether it's wunderkind or wunderkind. There were rumours that he's going to play. We all hope he plays in this game on Wednesday. I mean, obviously, we are going to change it about a bit. But then again, we do have to win. We'd have to beat, because this competition is now a clear route into Europe. But Max, have you heard about the Patino fella? Have you studied him on the videos and on the YouTube? And we should all be very excited about him.
Yeah, he looks like a real talent in the Arsenal Academy. Is he wearing number 10? Did I get that right? And he looks like coming through with that left foot. I saw the goal he scored against Man United reserves, went past no less than Phil Jones and stuck it past Henderson as well, didn't he? So
exactly, yeah. Two legends.
looks like a real talent, and I really hope to see him coming through in the time. I think didn't Reece Nelson say to watch out for him, and he was the one that he spoke about Saka. So yeah, fingers crossed that maybe he plays on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, I really hope. Yeah, he's 17. He's like a kind of skillful attacking midfielder, isn't he? It's very exciting prospect. Yeah, are you going, Josh, on Wednesday to see Patino? Charlie?
I'm still working out if I am going. Might have a work commitment that takes me possibly to the fourth round draw, weirdly enough.
One of your clients is doing the fourth round draw.
Micah is doing the fourth round draw, so I may or may not be with him depending on what goes on Wednesday, which would take me away from the Emirates. But I will do everything in my powers to ensure a brilliant fourth round draw, of course. Not that I'll be able to do anything at all about it, but naively I would hope that we will be in it.
So Micah Richards, we should say, is his manager.
I'm his manager. Are you going to be polite? And he's.
Oh, totally. Don't worry. I'm not going to. I would never be unprofessional. Okay. It's like, I mean, I love him. He's great. He's a great. Clearly, a lovely guy and a very entertaining. But I did watch. If you watched the Sky yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, Max, but they had Roy Keane was on. In the Chelsea Spurs match, even by his standards, he was on with Micah. It was him, Micah, and who's the third?
Graham Souness.
Graham Souness, always. Yeah, Souness, Keane and Souness are always the duo, and often it's Micah or Gary Neville or whatever. Anyway, Roy Keane, even by his standards, was in an extraordinarily pugnacious form. He was furious about how shit Spurs was. And obviously, as an Arsenal fan, Harry Kane absolutely let him have it with both barrels. I mean, I've never seen anyone attack Harry Kane the way that he did. And I'm totally there for it, by the way. I mean, obviously, it was incredibly entertaining. But Micah looked quite shocked. And what I'm saying to you is I really want to know the full, like, what is Micah sometimes watching, and he's sitting there watching Roy Keane and coming out with this stuff. And it's like, what the fuck is he going on about? But, in a kind of brilliant way. So I think it's a fascinating...
I've got to say, I'm obviously not completely neutral, but I thought it was excellent, the 45 minutes after the game yesterday. Very entertaining, sort of must-watch.
Very entertaining.
Stuff, considering, that they are effectively having the post-match debate and just dropping in a bit of comments from the manager. I thought it was fantastic and genuine debate there. There was disagreement, but, everyone making, their arguments. And I just think Keane is... I think that is Keane. There's no act, right? Like his strong opinion, he gets it. And look, Tottenham, let's face it, that should have been 6 or 7. However we felt as Arsenal fans watching Chelsea-Arsenal and that first half, at least we put in enough in the second half where we didn't get, like, taken the piss out of. There were 6, 7 brilliant opportunities in that second half. They took 3. But there were some outstanding saves. Like, it was a terrible half of football where Spurs fans felt very angry. And yes, 3-1-0 wins to open the season, but they fell apart at Crystal Palace. Yes, they're down to 10 men. You fancy Arsenal Sunday? I fancied Arsenal before I saw that second half. I just think there's enough in the Arsenal team to go ahead and beat Spurs this Sunday. And if we, after the start they had and the start we had, are above them after 6 games, that would be hilarious.
Well, that's what
I think it will happen.
I like that.
Wow.
Sadly, too much of this season might be about, do we finish above Spurs? Because it isn't going to be about, are we winning the title?
Oh, it's definitely
challenging for the top 4. But win that game, and suddenly we do get back into a conversation about the top 6. I mean, I know it's 6 games in, but... that, people were talking like that was dead and buried after 3 games. If we're on 9 points after 6 games, it's absolutely on. I mean, we're on. I just think I'm so excited for Sunday now. I really am. I just think we're playing them at a time where they're feeling shitty after 2 crap performances. We're on, a little bit of a bounce after a couple of wins. Hopefully an encouraging performance against Wimbledon in the week. I'm excited, boys. I don't know what you're doing.
It worries me.
You don't look too excited.
No, I'm not. I'm dreading it. Because I think this is exactly... All Arsenal fans... I never understood. All Arsenal fans are getting overexcited about the whole, if we beat them 2-0, we go above them, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is a North London derby. Anything can happen. Use that cliche. Also, Spurs, there's no way they're going to play as badly against us as they did against Chelsea and Palace. It's never going to happen. They're going to be much better. And always, Kane and Son together... are quite capable of tearing our defence apart, So, I mean, I don't want to preempt the prediction, Max, but I'm not as confident as Josh is.
Well, when you see Harry Kane, 4 games played, 0 goals.
Yeah, right.
You know he's like, you don't even want to tempt fate. Like, you know he's coming close or scoring on Sunday. So, yeah. I mean, it's hard to not back us after watching how bad they were, but you know what we're capable of when we're bad, and we haven't been in free-flowing attacking form. So I would like to think that the new jubilant Emirates will get us through on Sunday. So I will go. Are we doing predictions now?
Well, it kind of got ahead of away with predictions because Josh blundered in talking about that game. We've almost like got
sorry.
That's okay.
I took us on a tangent when you were talking about the post match on why Roy Keane was playing at Spurs, but I just genuinely excited. our record against Spurs at home in the Premier League is terrific. Like, they've not come and won. I mean, it's over 10 years, isn't it? I think it's that game in November 2010 where they won 3-2. So for us to go into this game, any North London derby at home, we've been in, fine, plenty of draws in there, but we haven't sort of come and been beaten. So I don't know, Boyd. I know you sort of want to be a little bit cautious.
Yeah.
And you've understandably, got that. Yeah. And hopefully, will you be wearing your Saka T-shirt for the game Sunday, or are you going to get it out earlier than that?
I actually can't make it to the game on Sunday.
Oh, you've got this gig,
I'm hosting
Steve Coogan.
Ricky Gervais. Close.
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I'm hosting an event with Ricky Gervais at the exact time that So.
Well, we should say you agreed to it prior to the kickoffs being confirmed.
Yes. I certainly, put it this way, I didn't have the calendar of fixtures in my on my iPhone when I agreed to host the event. But,
Are you going to record the game, or this is a live event and it would be too difficult?
It'd be a live event. I'm going to record the game. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll set the Sky queue.
But you won't watch it as live. You think you're, as in, will you know the score?
I think I can never avoid the score. Yeah, I will. I think I will. I think I'll be finished with Ricky by the second half. So I think I'll probably watch most of the second half at the venue, which is a cinema in town. So I'll probably, I'll probably be watching it on my phone the second half. I'm thinking, yeah.
That's why you're not excited about this, Boyd.
I am excited. No, I'm very excited. It's just, I'm incredibly honoured to be doing a Q&A with Ricky Gervais, but it is, unfortunately, it's exact clash.
He's not interested in football, is he?
He always asks about Arsenal whenever I see him, because he knows that I'm a big Arsenal fan. I don't see him every week, but I see him, semi every now and then when he's got, when I see him about a new project or whatever. So he keeps tabs on it. He does keep tabs on it, and he's usually aware of what's
going on. Have you ever gone to a game together? Has he ever come with you?
No, I don't think he would.
Maybe if you tell him there's an opportunity Sorry, but I was going to say maybe he'll come along if he knows there's a chance of getting a sweaty shirt from Kieran Tierney launched from the pitch up to you in club level.
I don't think that's going to entice him. No. What did you ask, Max? Right. Sorry.
Saying, is this for Afterlife?
This is for Afterlife. Yeah, it's actually an Afterlife. It's called From Script to Screen, and it's like a Netflix Evening Standard event. Yeah, they're doing a whole it's like how he writes it and everything. I'll ask him if he wants to come to a game. He definitely won't. Can you imagine Ricky Gervais in the middle of even club level? He's still going to get bombarded with people.
It's not as busy as it used to be in club level. That much is clear from looking around. I mean, there's never been more seats available. Even now, you go on and you want to buy a ticket for Arsenal Spurs on Sunday, you can have a whole row in club level if you want. That's the level of demand. Yeah, absolutely. There's hundreds of tickets in
club level. How much is a ticket?
They're just too expensive.
How much does it cost?
It ranges. I think the cheapest ones in club level, something like 165, I think, for Sunday.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But they go up to about 330 for the sort of bang on the centre.
Is that dinner included in
the price? No, it doesn't even include food, Max. No, it doesn't. It is outrageous. Yeah, another 12 quid for a fucking veggie burger if you want to eat.
Well, at least we're not doing what Spurs did with they did like all vegan menus at the game, didn't they?
Oh, on their carbon neutral. Yeah, that was funny. Actually, the carbon neutral thing was even fun. It was almost as funny as the Roy King going absolutely crazy about how shit Spurs were. That was fascinating. Yeah, the whole attempt to long kind of interview with Kieran Trippier, I think it was, wasn't it, about his carbon neutral. I mean, do me a favour.
Yeah. I mean, like drowning their sorrows with a grilled shiitake burger.
I'm not a fan of the shiitake particularly, but let's not do down all the vegans.
I don't want to. I don't want to upset any punters.
Upset any punters. No, exactly. Oh. Anyway, I guess we are winding our way rather pathetically to predictions time. I just wanted to bring up one other thing about the game on Saturday, which I meant to mention right at the beginning, which I've seen a lot of people excuse our frankly useless final ball in that game. Like, we'd have quite a few promising attacks built up, and then someone, either Pepe often or whoever would not
did deliver a clinical final ball to score or would shoot wildly. Emil Smith Rowe had a couple of chances. They're blaming the dry pitch. Could it possibly be the fault of the dry pitch, Max?
I mean, I think all footballers around might prefer a greasy surface, but it used to be like a thing, wasn't it? Oh, if Arsenal come to town, maybe don't dry your pitch. Or I think there was a Champions League game when Mourinho's Inter Milan might have played Barcelona, and obviously yeah. They had the tiki-taka. And I think he didn't water the pitch. But to be honest, nowadays, if you look at every game that we start a kickoff with, it's always a long ball that starts it, isn't it?
So, always.
So I don't know if that applies to us as much anymore. But, you know, Burnley will always be Burnley. So Burnley will try these sort of things.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted the dry pitch issue to be addressed fully. Right then, it is predictions time. Josh tried to ram it through earlier in a wild reorganisation of the format of the podcast, but that's fine. So you've kind of predicted, or you think we're going to win, Josh. You've thrown down that gauntlet against Spurs, by the way. What are you saying? 3-1, 2-1, 3-1?
2-0. 2-0. We'll win on Sunday. We should possibly predict the Wimbledon game, but we'll go to Spurs. 2-0, I think. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm oddly confident. I just see enough in this squad. And I was arguing for this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast that the crisis might not be as big as people are making out, that we're probably 1 point behind where I thought we might be after three games, and that with a couple of wins, things could start to feel very different. So, you know, and look, even if we draw this game, not a disaster. You know, I think everyone would have taken 7 points from the sort of three games after the international break. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. And I think a 2-0 win, Boyd. I know you'll be worried about what's going on sort of afterlife and whatnot. But have you got any thoughts on the game?
Clean sheet for Leno, you're predicting. That's interesting.
Well, potentially, I don't know. I mean, it depends if you believe a bloke with 300,000 followers on Twitter.
I don't know.
German, does he have a German insight into this with Leno?
Not sure. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think I'm going to predict a draw just because part of me really thinks we're going to lose. I don't have your confidence. So I'm going to go for a wild tool draw. What about you, Max?
I mean, I don't think I've been on this podcast and ever predicted anything less than a win. So I'll go 1-0. I don't think we're not a team that scores a lot of goals.
That's true.
It'd be 1-0 and it'll be a set piece.
Interesting. And we have got the midweek game in the Carabao Cup against AFC Wimbledon. Max, what do you reckon? I guess we'll see the likes of Martinelli and those people.
I was going to say as well, it's nice to go into a game like this and, you know, we're going to be seeing people like Martinelli and hopefully Charlie Patino, where before we'd be giving people like a Mustafi a run around. It's nice. Having said that,
the lineup in the last game was quite extraordinary, wasn't it?
Well, I think that's because we were on a real bad spell and needed a win. Otherwise, it would have been Arteta's head.
Yeah.
So, I think I haven't seen a great deal of AFC Wimbledon, but let's say 4-0.
Oh, 4-0. Okay. Josh?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the team for this game, even in goal. I mean, does Ramsdale sort of stay in? He obviously played in the last round away at West Brom. Or does Leno come back in? And what Arteta may not be thinking about for Sunday, you know, heavily influences that decision. You presume we'll see an entirely different back line. Cedric, presumably, I think, coming in at right back. I'm sure both central defenders will change. I'd expect Holding and Mari, Nuno Tavares. You think Maitland-Niles will get the nod in central
midfield? Kolasinac played in the last League Cup game.
I know, but that was, you know, I think Tavares, I think if we go for four at the back, that's what he is. Lokonga, probably Maitland-Niles. I mean, Eddie Nketiah, we haven't seen in some time. Lacazette, Martinelli. Those are the sort of players I'd expect to to see. Yeah. Look, against League One opposition, they've started the season okay. I think this is probably a win, maybe not as heavy as people think, but I'll go 3-1 to Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0 for that one. I don't know why. Well, Max, it's been a joy. Thanks for coming back to the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Josh. I think a lot of us will be there on Wednesday. It'll be interesting. And let us pray that you are both right about the North London Derby. We'll see. And we'll see you this time next week. Cheers. Bye.
If you'd like to advertise on or sponsor this show, contact us at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.